it took me a long time to realize that it's okay to not come to God fully figured out, that if we just spend time walking with him, that that stuff just kind of irons itself out over time. You don't need to snap your fingers and be perfect. In fact, it's an ongoing process.
We probably all know someone who was there once, like Chris Llewellyn. Maybe it was even you, thinking you were too messed up, too many things were off track, and God would want nothing to do with you. Then, like Chris, you had the encounter with Jesus where you got a glimpse of his grace and that he's inviting you into a relationship with him, even in the midst of your mess. As self-described purveyors of good news, Chris and his bandmates from Rend Collective are busy delivering the gospel to the battered and broken through songs and stories in what they call a simple, old-fashioned way. And they're doing it with nothing to prove.
Well, Chris, welcome to the conversation this morning.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on as well. I guess just jumping right in, we'd love to hear a little bit about the tour.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the 10th anniversary tour of our album Campfire, which was kind of such an amazing, hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say miraculous move of God in our lives, in the sense that we made this album that nobody had any hope in whatsoever, including the record label that we were with at the time. And I can understand why, because we wanted to just take acoustic instruments down to the beach and record exactly like that, really real and raw and honest. And I think for us that was really important, because we'd actually grown out of a Bible study in Bangor, Northern Ireland. And one of the things that we would do is part of our kind of faith journey and part of our community was that we would spend a lot of time sitting around the campfire on the beach. And that was where we kind of formulated our faith and where a lot of our worship experiences and just really intimate moments with God had happened in that place. And so we wanted to record there, but you can understand hesitation around that, given that music's right. supposed to be made in studios and mostly Nashville, if you're doing it right now. So brought us all over the world playing these really simple folk songs that they've been played in arenas, but they don't sound like they should ever have been played in arenas.
That is so cool.
So yeah, that's what we're celebrating on this tour. Yeah. It's just going back to that album and kind of bringing it back to that really intimate feeling of, you know, when you're around the campfire, it's not so much that you're watching a band do something as it is that you're a part of what it is that's happening.
Yeah, that's so good. You know, you called it miraculous and you were pausing there for a moment, but you know, one of the things that we're talking a lot on My Bridge Radio right now is if we're talking about miracles, and specifically the way we define it is something that happens that would not have happened and could not have happened if God had not been at work. And so right. I think that was a miracle that you guys experienced on the beach that day. So that's awesome.
I think so too. I kind of feel like you get a choice. You can either live in a world with a lot of miracles, or you can live in a world that doesn't have any at all. A lot of that is down to your own outlook. And I'd rather live in the world that has a lot of them.
Yeah, amen. Been at this for how many years now?
15 or 16, something right. like that. Yeah, yeah.
You're getting up there a little bit as far as how long you've been doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I know. Well, I started this when, well, I mean, the Bible study that we were part of, I've been in since I was 17. But I started that from when we signed our first record deal, which was when I was about 26.
Okay.
It's
been a while. Yeah. So what keeps you going? Yeah. How do you stay in it? Keep fresh? What keeps you going?
You know, the thing I suppose that keeps this feeling fresh is that, I mean, obviously God doesn't change particularly, but in every single season, you get a fresh perspective on God. You know, if I felt like I was running out of things to say, I would be done by now. But the subject matter that we write about is very infinite.
Limitless. Yes. That is awesome.
Yeah. And just that would be one side of it. Like, I've never really stopped being interested. You know, I think I would stop when I get bored. I just haven't got bored yet. I'm still exploring this. But the other thing I would say is, actually, at this point, I really enjoy being in front of people and seeing the songs connect and bring hope and joy. I find that it's just such a lovely thing to be called to do, to stand in front of people and release joy. And I feel like that's the calling that we've had. And it's a really sweet one.
That's cool. Do you remember the first ever time that it was clear that God used a song that you were performing to impact a life?
I can think of some really significant times. There's so many stories at this point. I think particularly of a song that we wrote that isn't really a big song. There's this song that was like on the back half of one of our albums, and I hear about it all the time. It's a song called Weep With Me. And it was a song that was written basically as a response to... We got to know this little girl called Jovi through Make-A-Wish. So her Make-A-Wish had been to come and see Ren Collective and sit in the front row and get dinner with us and stuff. And we were blown away that anybody would want to do that. But we got to know this girl and her family, and we got to worship together then later that night. And for the first part of the set, you know, they're kind of standing in the front row because... Well, Make-A-Wish get to do whatever they want. For the first of all, it was really sweet because her and her sister were just like, we're dancing and loving it. And then that was great. But then I moved a little bit further out in my field of vision over time. You know, when we play concerts, I see the audience a lot. I'm watching you guys. But when I noticed their parents and the experience that they were having and how much difficulty they were having it in engaging with all these songs about joy and celebration, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it made it necessary to write a song that was actually about the fact that God enters into our suffering, that that he can empathize, that he doesn't just sit on this pedestal watching us go through our lives, but that he gets down into the mess of it. And so this song, Weep With Me, is the one that I hear stories about constantly. Just people saying that it really helped them get through. And it's funny because it isn't a song that like ends with this big resolve of everything's going to be okay. It just says that God's going to be with you, even if it isn't okay.
It sounds like one of David's Psalms to me. He leaves things messy pretty often.
Yeah, the Psalms are a lot less tidy than CCM music is a lot of the time. Yeah.
I'm curious, is there a song that you guys have written and recorded that then turned around and God used to impact your own life significantly?
I think particularly a song that's out right now for us, a song called Hallelujah Anyway. It's been interesting because I wrote that very much deeply inside a season where, well, it was 2020, so we've got a light to medium apocalypse happening in the background. But also at the same time, my son was diagnosed with he has special needs and continues to right now. For us, it just felt like things were really, really falling apart. And it was out of that season that this song was written. It was kind of an attempt to work out how to worship in a real way whenever things aren't going well. You know, it's easy to worship whenever everything's going pretty sweet. But what do you do in those long seasons sometimes of life where everything's hard and dark and you're angry and you're bitter? And those times actually need a worship vocabulary too. So that's where Hallelujah Anyway comes from. And at the time, even writing the song felt really therapeutic to speak it out, that to even say something to God, like that. You know, the lyric talks about bitterness, it talks about anger, it talks about frustration. And to even say that was kind of therapeutic. But now on the other side of it, you know, I feel I'm in a totally different place. It's 2024. It's not 2020 anymore. And to sing that from a hopeful place and kind of look back and see God's faithfulness, even leading me through that time of real struggle, it's sweet. I guess it's one of those examples of how a song can mean something and how God can use it to continue to speak in multiple different ways. But that's one I think. But when I sing it, I feel like the sweetness of kind of being on the other side of it.
That's cool.
God is always at work among us.
Joe leads Child Evangelism Fellowship, or CEF, in Lincoln, a ministry that shares the gospel with children. In the summer, that sharing happens through middle and high school students who are part of CEF's Christian Youth in Action.
Christian Youth in Action is our summer training program. And really our training is to help train these kids to be able to share the gospel and to grow in their relationship with Jesus by being leaders.
So a community member agrees to host a CEF 5-day club, almost like a mini vacation Bible school, in their library, a park, or their backyard, and Christian Youth in Action students lead it.
It's a way for these families to be able to make a difference in their neighborhood. The host will invite the kids, provide a snack, and then our Christian Youth in Action kids will teach the Bible lesson. They will lead the songs. They will help the kids memorize memory verses.
They will share the gospel with children, prayerfully with thousands of children across Nebraska. We are excited to hear how God will move this summer through Child Evangelism Fellowship. To learn more about CEF's Christian Youth in Action, visit mybridgeradio.net. God is doing something right now. He is
moving mountains, making a way for someone. So, Chris, one of the things that we love to do when we have guests on My Bridge, and especially if we've not had them on before, is just to hear their spiritual journey, like how they came to know and fall in love with Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, I didn't become a Christian until later on in my teens. My mom and dad met because my dad was a traveling Christian musician, so it seems I'm heading down a road of becoming my father, which is scary, but I'll leave that where it is. But yeah, I think my experience growing up in Ireland was that faith was everywhere, but it was a very complicated thing where I came from. You know, I'm not sure if you know much about Northern Irish history, but through the 70s, 80s, and 90s, we were bombing each other over issues of sectarianism, as in minor differences in Christian faith were things that we were killing each other over. And also politics was mixed up in there. So I had a complicated relationship with faith. It was tied into those things. And so it took me a long time to really find Jesus in the middle of that. And also I was very distracted because at the time I was really trying to pursue a career in sports. It was looking kind of fairly realistic for me to move into playing rugby as a professional career. And, you know, I was deeply focused in that. You know, if you know about sports, it's, if you want to do it, it's an all-consuming lifestyle. So it was really when I got injured and had to take some time off that, you know, I began exploring this stuff again and just opened up my Bible in my bedroom. And I would say that feels like my conversion experience was just being so interested and feeling just the deep closeness and presence of God, even in my bedroom then. That was really the moment where everything switched on for me and I realized that God was more than the way I'd been presented to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How did you know, Chris, as you have this encounter with God in your room, that you were different?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the first evidence of change would be that I was actually planning to go to church on Sunday. As a 17-year-old boy who did not enjoy it very much, that was a shocking change to most people in my life. You know, honestly, it's a slow, steady process, I think, discipleship. You know, actually, that was something I struggled with whenever I first came to faith because, you know, I was a rugby player from Ireland, so I spoke like a sailor. And, you know, just had a ton of habits that kind of I didn't feel like belonged for somebody who was a Christian. And it took me a long time to realize that it's okay to not come to God fully figured out. Mm-hmm. That if we just spend time walking with him, that stuff just kind of irons itself out over time. You don't need to snap your fingers and be perfect. In fact, it's an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. To this day, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So good. What would you say to someone listening? They might know about God, but they've never really experienced the reality of God.
Yeah, I think I would maybe just speak to my own experience. I mean, I've found that a relationship with God hasn't done the thing that I think sometimes I feel like faith promises to on Instagram, which is make everything click together and I'll have all my money and I'll have my whole life together. I'll never have any problems again and my kids will behave themselves and all of that. Those are false promises. But the thing that is really deep and rich about my relationship with God is that there has been this undercurrent of joy and hope that walks through all of these different seasons. Like, it's the difference between going through the valley on your own and going through it with the most powerful, most loving, most supportive person in the universe. That's the difference for me. I can speak to it as a massive sweetness in my own life. And that's the reason why I would offer it to anybody else.
That's so good. Yeah. I've often thought, you know, God never promises that we're not going to go through it this side of heaven. As a matter of fact, he promises that we are. Like he says, that's going to happen. In this world, you will have trouble. But yeah,
yes.
What his promise is I will be with you through it all. And boy, that's been the story of my life as well. So that's awesome.
Help guide the decisions about what songs you continue to hear on MyBridge Radio and how often you hear them.
It just seems like the right song comes on at the right time to lift my soul.
Every time I turn on my radio, there's always a song that comes on that hits right where I'm at.
Be a part of life-changing comments like that.
5 minutes informs every music move we make.
5 minutes, 2 times per month.
Eternal impact.
Go to mybridgeradio.net to sign up.
How would you define worship? Like, as you kind of processed it over the years, kind of what's your working definition of worship?
Yeah, it's a bigger question than it seems like on the surface. I think, you know, worship is obviously, you know, it's the offering that we bring God with our entire lives. But I think probably to click it back to what we normally think of as worship, which is that portion where music is involved.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the bit I know best about. You know, of course, the whole of our faith life is worship. But when we talk about sung worship, I always go back to the words of Jesus on this. You know, because he doesn't talk about worship in the way that we think of worship very often. I think once is about it. He says the Father is seeking worshipers who worship in spirit and in truth.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked through that over the years, trying to work out exactly what that means, because it's quite open-ended. And I think that all it really means is that we need to bring our real selves before the real God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has to be more complicated than that. I think when we stand in that place, when we sing together from that place, when we gather and we share stories in that space, that's what worship is. And that's certainly what I hope to do. At our events, that's what I'm hoping to achieve around the campfire, is that we can feel like a family just kind of being our real selves before the real God.
Each year on MyBridge Radio, we have a spiritual focus, and this year it's call it the 1% difference. Like, if you were to look at 1% of your day, that's only 15 minutes a day. And you know, if you took that 1% and invested it intentionally in your spiritual growth and nurturing your spiritual life, the difference it would make over time. Yeah. So yeah, we'd love to hear kind of your journey in terms of kind of when you began to be very intentional and consistent at developing your faith life.
Pretty much straight away. It was always such a big part of evangelical culture, and that was the version of Christianity that I kind of fell into at the start. So the idea of putting in time was actually at the front of the day, you know, having that quiet time, you know, spending time in scripture and in prayer was always like it seemed very core to what being a Christian was. I actually think probably over time found that nothing much has really changed from there, that the lessons of Sunday school pretty much hold up.
Mm.
You know, when we spend time meditating or thinking about scripture, and we spend time allowing God to enter into our day and inviting him into it at the front end, I think that makes a massive difference. And it's not really a practice that I would let go. I also don't think we have to be obsessive about it either. I don't think it's a matter of us having to fight for God's word, God to see us as worthy because we spend time in prayer and scripture. But at the same time, I think it just brings these tremendous benefits. So it's never really been a massive struggle for me, I would say. I've probably had some kind of a daily practice for the whole time.
That's awesome. Again, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
We know your time is valuable, so we're grateful you chose to spend some of it listening to Morning Conversation, the podcast. If God used this content to bless you, we'd love to have you share it with a friend. Also, when you click subscribe or follow, not only will our next episode be delivered to your podcast app, you'll help raise awareness so others can more easily find this podcast. For more conversations like this, along with songs of hope and stories of God at work, we invite you to listen to MyBridge Radio. Hear it on the MyBridge Radio app or listen online at mybridgeradio.net.